last, we'll be first. What a day, I'm telling you.
This is Jimmy and Annette, and we are coming to you from the heart of Bridge Church, Fredericksburg, Texas.
In our studio.
In our studio slash office. I got probably the coolest office in town, would you agree?
Everybody who comes in here, especially Adam Curry, loves this office. And I'm having an office built.
Yes.
Eventually.
I know.
Brian.
That's a good thing.
Our executive pastor, Brian, and I are having offices built because I don't have an office. I'm in a temporary office for now until we hire a new producer. But yeah, I think I'm going to, mine needs to be a little nicer than this.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm a female.
Oh,
you're
my
a male.
Gosh.
Males don't care.
Well, this is where we do a lot of meetings in here as well. So it's not just the studio.
I guess you're right. It is the green room too when we have
guests. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, when Rebecca Alonso was here.
We hung out in here.
We did, not you and her, myself and I.
Whatever.
But yeah, we hung out in here. So no, it is a great office. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very
it's cool. It's just
it's quiet and the carpet is nice.
Well, the sound too.
The sound is
phenomenal.
We've got
sound panels all over the place.
Yes.
Nice ones, plus the sound wall. We have a sound panel wall. And so yeah, works out great. And we do our video shoots in here. So how are you doing on this very special day, by the way?
Today is our 32nd wedding anniversary.
Man, 32 years of wow.
Yes, 32 years of wow.
Wow.
I know. Although I just had a women's meeting with a part of our women's leadership team of the church because we wanted to talk about our last event and kind of go over do's and don'ts for our next one, and it was great. And we were talking because one of the we did a survey with all the women who came to the event, and only 19 or 18 responses came in. But several of the responses, when we asked the question, what kind of events would you like in the future, they all came up with marriage. And I thought that was really interesting. That was the overwhelming response was marriage. People want to know how to have a wonderful marriage and, you know, what to do. How to keep, you know, from having constant challenges in your marriage. And so I told on you.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Oh, no.
I'm bringing this up because somebody might say something, but I told about, I talked about how dangerous it is not to have an argument before you get married. And you and I didn't.
Oh, no.
But it was even
the story you
it
tell
was
them.
Even
I've been
worse.
Golf with my brother.
Yes, but it was worse for me because I was married, you know, for 6 months before my first husband and I had our first fight, and it was 2 weeks after we were married, and it was not pretty. And I should have left right then, and I didn't. But anyway, I did tell on you about the golf, but they all said.
There was a disturbance in the force, definitely, this morning.
You,
I was feeling weird.
Oh, my gosh. Well, honestly, no, but let me say this. I don't even know that person. And let's share with the audience what I shared with them was that I got really sick with a really, really bad flu. And Jimmy, we'd only been married about a year and a half. And Jimmy had a golf game planned with his brother. And you went and played golf, left me there. And I wasn't happy about that because I'm sick as a dog. But you decided to play another 18 holes with your brother. So you played.
Right.
And I had to get someone to take me to the hospital because I was so sick. And
that
then
is
when
correct.
And then when you came back, we had a fight because I'm like, I can't believe you actually played another round and I'm this sick. And you got upset and actually almost you used the D word because you were like, I don't need this. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay,
part.
You did. And the next week we went and met with our pastor,
mm-hmm.
and he put you in your place. I know he did. No, he did. He said you were being selfish and your wife was homesick. But I do have to say this. I know you're looking. He's okay for the audience. You should see the look on his face. He's like about to have a blowout right now. But honestly, when I told that story, everyone was like, I don't even know that man. I said, I don't either, because you have spent the last 32 years making it up to me. So I'm putting you on a pedestal now because you were young too. You were 30.
I'm on an emotional roller coaster.
I know
right
you
now.
Are. But you were what? We were 31, 32 years old and
yep.
dumb kids.
We were.
And you
30.
Had kind of lived, even though you were married, you were pretty independent because your wife didn't do anything.
True.
And so you were pretty independent. So then when I needed you, you're like, what? I mean,
yeah,
I have a golf game.
It was different.
So,
yeah.
But you're not anything like that now.
No, we had that very hard, difficult lesson. The honeymoon was over. And it was.
It was.
It was like, okay, let's get down to business now. We have real life to live.
And you have yeah. spent, literally, you have spent, this is what I told the women, 32 years making it up to me. Because now you hardly ever do anything outside of me.
That's
you
true.
Do not play golf. And when you do, I'm like, go, you need to go. I am now helping you along with doing things outside of us. But you, literally, I don't even know that person. It was almost as if that day, that week that happened was a whole nother person and a whole nother lifetime, because I've never seen that side of you ever again in 32 years.
So I'm going to say this not as an excuse, but sometimes things have to happen.
I agree.
To bring things to the surface. And that surfaced right away. Okay, I can't do this marriage the same way I did the other marriage. Mm-hmm. I can't just be independent. Because she was fine with that. She actually preferred it. So,
exactly.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
So you're right. I have spent 32 years saying, no, I don't need to go do that.
You,
no, I'm not.
And you
leave.
Don't. You literally turn things down because we enjoy spending time together, though.
We do. It's not a weird dysfunctional thing. It's actually a really functional thing.
Yes.
Where you're my best friend on the planet.
And you're mine, too. And that's why I could share that story. For one, they needed to see that you're not absolutely 100% perfect. None of us are. But they need to see that that's not even who you are anymore. That there is hope if any of them or they know someone who's in a marriage to where there's some challenges like that. People can change because God can get a hold of someone. And, you know, the good thing is we went immediately into counseling and said, we need help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, this happened. I don't think she responded right. I don't think you responded right. And he put us in our place. And he was like, wait, y'all haven't even been married that long.
You know what I loved about that guy? He was a pastor. I remember.
Yeah. Jackie Watts Church.
Yes.
In Lubbock.
What I loved about him is that when we walked in,
I'll never forget it.
His desk was completely clear. There was nothing, not a laptop, nothing.
He moved everything off the desk.
His Bible and a yellow pad and a pen. And I remember asking him, you know, why do you do this? He said, I don't want any distractions. And he said, I want us to focus on the most important thing in this room. It was the Word of God.
Yes.
Sitting there. He said, I'm going to take some notes while we're talking, but I want you to know.
It was beautiful. I'll never forget that.
Really,
that made an impression on you.
That.
Oh,
it
made a huge impression to where you're that way when you meet with people.
Oh, I'm not an LPC. I'm not a licensed professional counselor. I'm a pastor. My call is to make disciples. And so I don't even call it counseling. I call it discipling. And we thank goodness we have Renee, who is an LPC, who serves our church wonderfully.
Yes, she does.
And keeps a very heavy load here because the needs are great, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, thank you for sharing the rest of that story. If you had not had,
I would never have left it.
Ran my car into a
open.
Tree or something.
Oh, you're so funny. No.
No, it's a terrible memory because I just remember how horrible I felt afterwards and realized how I just totally missed the boat and that I can't do things the same way I did them before. Something had to change, and it was me in that case. And so 32 years of wow. Well, maybe like 31 and three quarters.
31 and three quarters.
Just kidding.
That was actually a year and a half. But also, we had a lot of challenges with teens, my teens that I brought
into
the marriage.
No doubt.
So it wasn't what you expected.
Right.
Especially Alicia being as rebellious as she was. So I think all that just kind of, I mean, you're like, I need to go finally go play golf. And I think it was the first time you had played golf since we were married. And you were like, I gotta get all this stress out. And it's just the timing wasn't
bad
perfect.
Timing.
Bad timing. Not that golf is bad, because golf is good. It's just the timing. So anyway, I had to share that because I literally just got out of the meeting, and I didn't want you to be someone to come up to you and say, "Hey, I heard about what you did," and you go, "What?" And you not know that I told the rest of the story.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
But you know what? This is what I told him. And this is our anniversary, so I'm going to say this to everyone that is listening. I have the best husband anybody could ever have in the whole wide world. And I said this to them, and they all said, "Wait, you don't know my husband. I have the best husband." And I'm like, I will arm wrestle you for that. No, just kidding. But I literally, this is what I love about you. I know we were going to do something else, but this is going to be about you. Is anytime you have hurt in some way me, or I mean, littlest things, you can't stand it. You are the type that you own up to things immediately. I don't know anybody like that. You really are a great man, and you have a heart of gold, and you want to make sure everybody's happy, everybody is filled with hope, everybody is in a good place, and you're a positive, wonderful man. And I have never been around anybody like you. I'm privileged and blessed to be married to you for 32 years. So I have to say that. Now, you can't say anything back. This is not about me, because then now you're going to feel like you need to say something. But I don't want you to. I want you to relish in the love I have for you.
Thank you.
And it's bigger and wider than anything that I've ever experienced in my life other than my relationship with the Lord.
Thank you.
So,
do we need to hit stop and get a room?
I know. Well, we're going home in a little while. I know. But I do.
So welcome to episode 83 of Living Up in a Down World.
Well, it is our anniversary. We're having it.
These are the days of our lives.
I used to love that show.
Everybody did.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I do. I want you to know. That is how I talk about you in public with anybody I'm talking with about our marriage and about you as a husband. And you really are special. You really are.
Thank you, babe.
I love you so much.
Love you and appreciate that so much. It's huge. It's hard to hear.
I know.
Honestly,
it is.
I'm used to.
You're used to giving it out.
All the praise, so it's hard to receive. But I do. I want to say thank you for saying that out loud and. For the millions of listeners.
The millions.
For the handful of folks we have listening to our podcast, I do thank you for that. And, you know, you and the ladies were talking about what does it take to make a good marriage. One simple thing is to talk your spouse up to other people.
Oh, yes.
Never talk them down. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So many marriages tanked, so many relationships damaged.
Power of your words.
Oh my gosh. Because of talking your spouse down to other people, because you're mad, because you're angry, you want to be validated. And that is one of the most dangerous things you can do, because those emotions pass, and you may say things in a moment of emotion that you don't feel all the time, but in that moment you feel that.
Right.
And you just want to be validated in your anger, and so you say something that you do and will regret. And I'm just so thankful that we have done, I think, well in that category.
Mm-hmm. We have.
Where our heart is to build each other up, because there's enough negativity in the world without us having to add to it.
Well, that's what I love about you. That's the difference in our personalities, is you see the cup half full and I see it half empty. And so, but the longer we're married, the fuller that cup is, because it's kind of like you have become more like me, and that you're more black and white than you used to be, and I'm a little bit more grayer than I used to be.
We were laughing about that this morning.
Yes, we were, and that's the difference in, you know, or that's what happens when you're together a long time. You begin to kind of bleed over with each other, and you both look the same.
If it's healthy.
If it's healthy,
you begin to grow towards the center,
yes,
is what I call that.
Yes.
Where where you're starting to meet each other in the middle more, but over time you both gravitate that way. Because I made a comment this morning, it was kind of hardcore, like Bible stuff, and you're like, that sounds like something I would say.
Yes.
I'm like, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're rubbing off on me after 32 years. That happens.
Well, you finally came over to the other side.
Finally. Not so positive anymore.
No. It's not about that.
I know. It wasn't even a negative thing, but it was actually being more in terms of as Christians calling people out to live this life instead of playing games. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've definitely rubbed off on me because I had a large gray area, a lot of grace for people.
A lot of grace for people.
And part of that is because I needed so much grace.
Yes,
and
you
still
did.
Do.
Yes.
That, yeah, thanks for agreeing on that.
But
I do.
No, we all do.
And so I do tend to give out what I need. So I do give
And
a
I have
grace.
A lot more grace for people than I used to because
do,
the
sure.
Lord has taken a lot of the traumas in my life and turned it from, you know, contempt to compassion. And so I have a lot more grace. And so you have definitely rubbed off on me in that. So
you know, another thing that you've really shifted in is that you've become a hugger.
I know.
There was a day even when I would hug you and you'd
I would recoil.
You'd have to stop and think for a second. Wait, this is my husband.
Yeah.
And then you'd hug me. But your first initial, it was like hugging a 2x4.
I know.
It's stiff. Like,
and yet Tina and Adam say you're not really a hugger, but they have no idea where I came from. They have no idea. I am really...
Oh, on Sunday mornings, I'm seeing you're like, bring it in here.
That's I know. Right. Someone will shake my hand. I'm like, well, can I hug you?
Give me a hug.
And they're like, sure. And I'm like, I can't believe I just said that. But yeah, you definitely brought that out in me. And a lot of times I'll ask people if I hug them, can hug them, because you never know.
No, I
of course,
agree
some
with
people
that.
Could say no, and that would be weird. But
I'm that way too.
I still want to.
Especially if people I don't know well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so much of our past, right? So much of how we were raised impacts a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had an affectionate family.
And I didn't.
So that was like normal for me. I was telling you the other day, and I know it sounds kind of funny to say it now in retrospect, but my grandmother was one of our lunch ladies when I was in high school.
So you got all the free good food.
I got the good stuff.
Because I liked some of
the food.
She put extra
sugar in the cornbread for mine.
Oh, and the rolls.
And my friends always wanted to eat with me.
The rolls. She probably gave you extra rolls.
Always. And she always did little extra goodies. Like I'd get a real piece of cake instead of the cake.
Really?
Yeah.
What, did she been make it and bring it for you?
She'd make it.
Oh,
right
my
there.
Gosh.
So
I actually thought I can still taste the food in my mouth from school. Can you? Literally, I can.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with
it. I didn't either.
I like the food.
Now you're making me hungry because it is lunchtime.
Too. But I would go in and I did this until I graduated from high school. But I would go to lunch. All my friends are with me. And I'd walk right over. I'd kiss my grandmother right on the lips. Just a peck, a little peck, you know.
Wow.
But I was like, this is my grandmother, and I don't care.
You're lucky.
Trying to be too cool for that.
I didn't have a grandmother that was around past the age of 6, I think, or 10 or something. Some real young age, so I don't remember much. And she didn't live in the same town, so it was quite different. You
that
had a great
different.
Upbringing.
I'm very, the older I get, the more I realize how blessed I
yes.
was.
Yes. Even though your parents weren't godly, they were good parents.
Well, I would say maybe saying godly is not the right way to even characterize that. They just were not Christians.
Yeah.
But they had godly characteristics.
Right. That's true.
Common courtesies. Man, I learned those young.
Boy.
How to work hard.
I've never met anybody like you.
Leave things better than you found them. My dad gave me a lot of really good, just life lessons, you know, leave it better than you found it. You know, those kinds of things where I pack it in, pack it out, you know, but he did good on that. And I really appreciate it. My mom was just very self-sacrificing.
Loving,
for us.
A very loving.
Yeah,
mom.
Very, very much so. So yes, very, very, very blessed. And then when I became a Christian, they didn't recoil. You know,
Your dad tell you not to get carried away.
He said, don't become a fanatical. And my comeback was too late.
Too late. Already.
I'm already there. But it was more tongue in cheek. And it wasn't mean spirited at all.
Yeah.
Never. I'm very grateful. My parents were not mean spirited. I feel terrible that they ended up in a divorce, you know, when I was 17. But I was kind of on the way out anyway. I was already looking towards, you know, my senior
college
year of high school and what's coming next. you know, going to college and all that. So in a sense, I would say it was not as impactful on my life as it was on my brother's.
Right, because he was 3 years younger.
3 years younger, and so it was a much, it landed a lot harder with him for obvious reasons.
Right, right.
Me, I'm like, I was never home. I was playing all the sports. I had a car. I was never home anyway. Even though it saddened me through the years, mm-hmm. I would just say it didn't impact me as deeply.
Right, right.
Which is understandable.
But because you had a great upbringing with great values, it carried over to your adulthood, and you have great values. So you become a Christian just enhanced that even more. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you changed drastically. You already had that imprinted.
It even shaped my worldview.
Yes.
Because I don't, even as dark as it can get out there, and like, you know, during this last election cycle, Rome's burning, the world's on fire. I still live up in the middle of that. I still just refuse to let that define my life.
Which is why we named this podcast Living Up in a Down World, because you have always lived up in a down world. I haven't.
And I've had some down stuff that I had to overcome.
But you still, you always saw the positive. I think that's my call, but I'm going to deny it right now.
Thank you.
Since I'm doing a podcast right now, the thing is, I think it's what's,
I don't know what you just did, but you didn't turn it off.
I put it voicemail, so it was going to my voicemail. Yeah.
No, it actually said waiting. It's a weird thing. I've never seen that
before. I
never
have.
I
think it's a consumer cellular thing. We're old.
We're old people, so we're old people. Cellular.
But anyway, now you made me lose my train of thought.
Sorry,
oh my gosh.
Your phone's all messed up now.
I know. It's okay.
Okay. I got you all fixed up.
All right.
You're
thank
good
you.
To go.
Thank you so much.
Phone's back in service. Whatever
but
you get.
I think because when you became a Christian, you really, it's crazy because I've had to change over time drastically to overcome things, but you haven't, because God already put his heart in you. And you just needed, I guess you just needed a standard. You know, you needed the Bible. You needed that in your life to give you a standard rather than just what the values that your parents gave you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It kind of reminds me, we watched a wonderful, wonderful podcast interview with, it was actually Jordan Peterson's program. He was interviewing Greg Laurie from Jesus Revolution. He's a pastor, 72 years old and still going strong. He's so healthy. He looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like still going strong. And he pastors a Calvary Chapel church. And he was part of the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus movement in California.
Which the movie was based on his life.
Yeah, Jesus Revolution. So Jordan Peterson watched the movie, was fascinated by it, and reached out to Pastor Greg Laurie and
had him on his show.
Laurie. And had him on his show. And it was a phenomenal interview.
It was like an hour and 45 minutes. And we watched the whole thing.
I hardly blinked. You know me.
I know.
I don't sit there for that long.
No.
I have to get up and move around. I
it was
all
so
in.
Good.
It was that good. And I think for me, I can relate a little bit to a story, not from his past in terms of having a rough upbringing. He had a very difficult time with his mother and his abandoned by his fathers, all seven of them.
Gosh.
You know, rough go, which led him into the hippie drug culture of the 60s and 70s, right around 1970. My story wasn't quite that like that, but the transformation when Jesus came into my life was.
Well, it's because, again, you didn't grow up in church. Neither did Greg Laurie. He didn't go until he was 17. You were 17 before you went to church, almost 18. And so you can relate to that. You didn't have that in your background.
Hey, I didn't have to overcome a lot of the pain. And trauma. I'm very blessed in that. So that's been very helpful. And, of course, that shapes your worldview. Mm-hmm. You don't look at the world as a scary place. You look at it as there's scary people and there's scary situations, but that doesn't make the whole world bad.
Right.
So yeah, that did shape and does continue to shape my worldview. Even in the craziness that's happening now, I still just have great hope. I really do. Which I align more with Kirk Cameron on that, because Kirk Cameron's all about hey, let's not lose hope. While we're here on this earth, let's bring it to a better place. Whereas some Christians have said, oh no, we're in the last days. It's got to get worse before it gets better. And so they sell out to this negative mentality of, well, then don't try to make it better. Just let it go bad. Oh. That way Jesus will come back quicker. I mean, it's insane.
It is.
And so I'm more in line with Kirk on that of saying, no. While we're here on our watch, mm-hmm. we have a responsibility to bring the kingdom of God here and now. Anyway, exactly. That really impacted my life. But so I really related to Greg in that sense, as he was talking about. He had very, very quick exponential growth in his faith. Mm-hmm. He had Chuck Smith who came along and mentored him.
Great man of God.
I had Pastor Kim Norwood and others. Mm-hmm. He was a mentor to me, a mm-hmm. pastor, Pastor Hank Scott. Along the way, there were God always put people in my
which
path.
I to never mentor had that. Me. I had a few Sunday school teachers when I was young, but when I was older, I did not have a mentor.
I will say this: I chased them. I learned how to chase early on.
And I didn't know
how
to do that. So I really wasn't mentored until you and I got married.
I get that. And I think a part of that, too, is I was an athlete growing up, so I always had coaches in my
life. So you knew how to.
I knew how to pursue.
Yes.
If I wanted to play, I knew I needed to get that coach's attention, which mm-hmm. means I need to be in his orbit.
Well, you even pursued your college dean so that you got a free ride to college because you pursued the person that was in charge of giving out the scholarships, and you made sure that they knew you were serious about college and you needed scholarships.
I know.
And
I couldn't have done it otherwise, especially going to a private
college.
But
again, this goes back to your character and your values. It really does. And you know what's valuable, and so you're going to pursue whatever it takes.
Again, credit to my parents for teaching me to
it's huge.
To chase what
it's huge.
To go after what you believe you need. Fortunately, as a Christian, it was very shaped and formed by scripture and the Bible and the right things. I think had I not have become a Christian, I would have different motives.
So,
it would have been more about me.
So let me say this. As we were watching Jordan Peterson
mm-hmm.
And Pastor Greg Lowry, Jordan has read the Bible over and over. He knows
he's written
the
books
scripture.
About it.
He's not a Christian yet. But look at who he's pursuing. He's pursuing a lot of godly, especially pastors, but godly men and women, and having them on his show. And it's like he is so searching for who God really is. He knows the word. He knows the scripture, but he doesn't know Jesus personally. But look at what he's doing. He's doing the same thing you did. You pursued everyone that had a godly relationship because you wanted that from God. And that's what Jordan Peterson is doing. He is right on the cusp of becoming a Christian. That was what was so fascinating about watching that yesterday, is he was listening to every word of Pastor Greg's testimony, and then he was breaking it apart and asking him those hard questions. Well, how did you know? How did you know this? When you did this, how did you know?
That
it was
cool.
Really
that
interesting.
Was really good.
I would recommend people, especially if you know who Greg Lowry is, or you know who Jordan Peterson is, who is a psychologist out of Canada.
He's brilliant.
He's
brilliant
with the Daily
individual.
Wire. He
Amazing.
Is phenomenal. In fact, he was the reason why we went on Carnivore.
Yeah,
it was
we
he
watched him on Joe Rogan talking about his daughter.
Who
had so many conditions healed.
Healed from that. And then he and his wife both went on it. And now all three of them have been on it for years. And now his daughter's kind of gone more keto, which is kind of what I've done. But man, he's brilliant. He is a brilliant man. In fact, he goes over our head a lot. We're like, what did he just say?
Even last night, I looked at you and I said, I have no idea what he's talking
about. I know.
About.
And then we looked at Greg Lowry and we
Absolutely
went, he's
brilliant.
Probably saying the same thing. I don't have no idea what you're saying. So let me just reiterate what I just said. And maybe
it
was amazing.
Hysterical, actually.
But that was a great interview. And what I loved about it is Greg was so, you could tell, his whole task for being there was to show who Christ is, because he wants Jordan Peterson to have that relationship, that it's not
I
about
so
the
agree.
Head knowledge. It's about the heart.
Yeah.
And because that's where Jordan Peterson has a hard time, because he's so about knowledge and the head knowledge, but it's hard for him to understand through the heart. And that's why a lot of people who have head knowledge, they think they're Christians, but it hasn't connected to their heart, so they don't know how to live for him on a daily basis.
You've heard me say this over and over. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
It's an insertion point.
Talking about the 18 inches?
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
I said it again on Sunday, and somebody came to me and said, oh, my gosh, that was huge for me.
You said it Sunday?
Or maybe it was last Wednesday. It was last Wednesday when I taught on faith.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I said, I would hate to miss heaven by 18 inches because there's a difference between a head knowledge, which is called mental assent, where you know in your head these things, mm-hmm. but you've never made the leap, the 18 inch leap from the heart. So
right.
the center of your head brain to the center of an average man is 18 inches.
Right.
And I just said, I'd hate to miss heaven by 18
inches.
By
18 inches.
And that's so true. And so I look at what Jordan's doing. Now, he's doing the right things. He's a thinker. Man, is he a thinker. He's an analyzer.
He has to do this.
So in a way, that's just, he's wired this way. I think he's so near the kingdom.
Oh,
I did read a little bit about his wife. She is a believer. She's a Christian. She's pursuing Catholicism, but as a born-again believer, because she likes the symbolism and all the iconoclasticism. She loves all that. And that's totally awesome, totally legitimate. But she's pursuing Jesus. She even has a podcast that has spiritual.
Which I think so that's probably why he's on the pursuit, because he sees something in her. And I would say it would be hard for someone that's so highly intellectual to, I remember Norm Portman.
Mm.
Angel and Norm Portman were friends of ours in Abilene. They were in our church for a time. And I remember she's real just out there, artsy, just lover of the world. And he is so highly intelligent. He's a dentist in Abilene.
Very analytical.
Very analytical. And he wasn't getting it. He would come to church, but he just wasn't getting it. And he was driving hard. He wanted what she had and what
it's
we had.
True.
And then the next time I saw him after we moved away, and I saw him, he was a whole different person because it finally clicked with him. And I remember I went to the dentist office and we got in a circle with some of the employees, and it was Angel and Norm, and he was praying heaven down. He was saying things that I have never heard come out of his mouth. And I thought, he finally connected it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jordan Peterson. Even last night as we were watching this episode, I was praying, Lord, just connect it, connect it, connect it. Because he's so on the cusp of being a solid Christian, because he knows so much. I can't imagine if he can really get that relationship to where he is really depending on God instead of what, you know, just the scriptures, what will happen. He could be an amazing preacher. Doesn't mean he has to be in a pulpit, but where he's at, where you live, work, and play, as we say. And I'm excited because I think that's why God keeps putting him in paths of people to help him get to that place. And some people need a little bit more help. But I also prayed this, just like I prayed, I've been praying for the administration, and I've been praying for the upcoming and for the prior administration, praying for a visitation in the bedroom of people who don't know Christ, who need Christ. I did that last night. I said, Lord, is it going to take a visitation from Christ himself in the bedroom at night, when you're laying there and then he appears, like it's what's happening in Iran?
Yeah, that's praying. That's asking the man in white
yes,
to show up.
And that's what I'm praying for Jordan Peterson. I think that's the only way he's going to really get it.
It may be. I think he's very near the kingdom. You know, Joe Rogan's very near the kingdom. There was a time when Russell Brand was in the same spot. He was
exploring. Now look at him.
Now look at him. He's on fire. Adam Curry as well.
And it's these highly intelligent,
overthink
everything.
Thinkers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, boy, when they finally step over the line, they become warriors
and
for
Jesus. It's the real thing.
The real deal.
They're going to go faster and stronger than we could ever go because,
I think
it's amazing.
We all have our callings, our mm-hmm. lanes that we're called to run in, and
yes.
we run well in our lane, and we're faithful
yes.
with what God gave us. And so it's not really farther, stronger, longer. It's none of that. It's more you being faithful to the call of God
yes.
in your life.
Yes.
And it may be very different than a Russell Brand
right.
or a Jordan Peterson.
Right.
But I God's doing something amazing among people that we would call influencers, people mm-hmm. who are famous, people yes. even celebrities and athletes, and we're seeing that happen a lot across the world. That's exciting, but he's doing it grassroots as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, on college campuses and all over the world. Mm-hmm. God is moving.
We had 38 people stand up on Sunday after an altar call that Pastor Brian gave of people that want to be totally immersed in God, like give it all. 38 people stood up
adults.
In church. Adults.
These are adults.
We're not talking children. There were no children in the
right.
in the sanctuary. It was all older adults that are saying, you know what, I'm ready to just step in all the way. And that was huge. To me, we have revival.
I know.
We already have it.
It's not coming. It's here.
It's here. It's yeah. here. And I think it's happening all across the globe. And we just need to open up our eyes
there
and
it
see
is.
It.
It's for those who have, Jesus would use this phrase, for those who have ears to hear. But there's also those who have eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then a heart to know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
I love
so
that.
Important that we live our lives with eyes wide open, mm-hmm. ears wide open, our spirit wide open,
yes.
so that we can recognize the activity of God,
yes,
the movement of God,
absolutely.
And then join Him in His work.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a simple principle, obviously, from the study Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But Henry Blackaby wrote the study, and the premise of it was you look to see where God is working. When you recognize it's His activity, it's His invitation to join Him in His work.
Which is why I see our church growing, because mm-hmm. we're not only preaching the gospel on Sundays, we not only have a Freedom in Christ ministry that's going on Tuesday nights, we have a discipleship on Wednesdays, and our discipleship program on Wednesday nights is so strong. It is like, I was just talking to Wendy Hearn about it, and she said, you know, when you're a realtor, you take realtor's classes, but then when you want to go deeper, you take GRI classes. She said, it's like taking a GRI classes. And it's really in depth and it's intense. And she said, that's what this is. And she said, it is phenomenal. But what we're seeing is the people that are going to that are, their eyes are being open. Their hearts
are growing,
open. And their ears are open to hear and know how to take this life that God has given us and take it out there beyond the walls of the church, beyond the walls of your house, and live it out. We don't have a lot of time. I mean, we're 62 years old, and you know, they say if you get to 72, you're doing pretty well. I mean, that's kind of,
yeah.
I mean,
the older we get, the more that are dropping around us that are our age.
Yes.
I've got several friends that have been through strokes and heart attacks recently. And boy, they came very close to the brink of death. My age and younger.
And so that's why it's really important to walk our faith out. That's what faith is faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to walk it out. It doesn't mean that we're doing works to get saved. We're already saved. We're doing works out of pleasure because of we want the pleasure of God.
I also liken it to something my coaches would say, and that is run through the tape.
Yes.
Finish the race strong.
Yes.
Don't come up short. Don't pull up short. Finish strong. And I feel like that's where we're at. We're in our end game kick, whatever. It could be another 20, 30 years.
It could.
But it is still
in the back half
of our life.
Absolutely.
So I want to run through the tape, finish strong.
Yes.
I want to take as many people to heaven with me as I can. That's what I live
because
for.
Because God doesn't want to come back until everybody has called on His name. And that's not going to happen. But they will. When He does come back, everyone will know.
And when He comes back, it'll be on His terms, His timing.
Yes.
We can do our best to interpret what that looks like through the scripture. But at the end of the day, it's on Him.
It's on Him.
But in the meantime, we have lots of work to do.
Yes, we
do. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Before we go,
okay,
I want you to talk about Hello, Fred.
Oh, wonderful.
And what does Fred stand for?
One of my favorite topics right now.
What does Fred stand for?
So Hello Fred is part of an embed tool that you can get on your computer, your phone, your tablet called the Godcaster. Adam Curry and a team of two other, one a developer, another one who owns a company, they've gotten together and they have developed this amazing, amazing, I guess you could call it a widget. You know, you can drop it in on your webpage. You can just go to the website, hellofred.com. HelloFred.com. No, HelloFred.fm. And you can get the sample there. And HelloFred is Hello Fredericksburg, Fredericksburg, Texas. And what they have done is they've created an outlet and an opportunity, an on-ramp, I would call it, so that any church or organization can literally have their own 24/7 radio station. But instead of broadcasting off of a tower over the airwaves, it broadcasts over the internet. It sounds phenomenal. It works phenomenally. It's an amazing thing to look into. And so if you're a church, if you're a pastor, you're part of a church, and you're listening to this podcast, check out Hello Fred. Go HelloFred.fm. Pull that up, and you'll see just the one we've developed to just show everybody. Or you can go to our website at BridgeFBG.com. BridgeFBG.com. Scroll down about halfway and you'll see the Godcaster there. You can click on Hello Fred, which is Hello Fredericksburg. It's local. We have local news. We have local, this is what's happening in our city council. This is what's happening in the market plot, the park, things that are going on in our church. We run our announcement reel and then we play music 24/7, Christian music on ours. So check it out again, BridgeFBG.com. And check out the Godcaster and let it blast through your house. It's
so
amazing.
What I love about it, I just pulled it up, HelloFred.fm, and it's got a widget that says Hello Fred. You click on that and you have 24-hour music, and it's all worship music. And then it has like your devotions are kind of spread throughout.
Yeah, the daily grind.
Yeah, which is great. And some announcements as to what's going on in Fred. Like December 7th, there's a big
Christmas
event that's put on that you're part of. Adam Curry is part of.
Trey Blocker
started it. And so it gives you the announcements of what's happening in your community. And so we're the guinea pig, I guess.
We're the beta tester.
And
the
then,
guinea pig.
But any community can do this, or any church can do this. And like on our church, we have certain podcasts on there that we listen to that are informing us as we preach or as we speak or whatever. And so, but the one from Hello Fred is like for Fredericksburg, but I notice he's got Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. He's got a marriage podcast with Jim Daly on here.
Great.
He's got the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron, his podcast. He's got our church on here, our website. He's got
your podcast. You must be looking at HelloFred.fm. I know.
I'm looking at your interview podcast with Craig Weinberg, Our Living Up in the Down World, Curry and the Keeper, and this is for Fredericksburg. And so anybody who has something that obviously has the values, godly values, he would put on here. And I love it. It's great.
Oh,
and
this is cool. Yeah,
he's made it very cost effective for people to have.
Oh, man, for an organization.
But
it's fantastic.
We don't listen to any other radio or anything anymore because Fred is 24/7 music.
And if we
want to listen to a podcast, we can click on it.
And we have a say-so in the music that's on there.
Yes.
That's the beauty of it. You can customize it for your own
church or your own organization. So if your church only wants hymns or gospel oriented top music, you can do that.
You can build that out.
We like it all.
Yeah.
So we like
ours is much more upbeat, contemporary. We have a few things from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, mm-hmm. but I'd say 80% of it is more current. And so very cool, very uplifting. The whole point is to help people live up in a down world, not as our podcast, but just literally that we want to help people live up. And this gives you a shot in the arm. I keep it going in my car. We've got it going at the house. We have Sonos at the house and we've got it going over our Sonos
24/7.
It's going now while we're here.
Well, not while we're sleeping, obviously.
No, but right now
I love it.
While we're here at the office. So anyway, check it out again. HelloFred.fm. So, hey, thanks for joining us today.
We do have two thank yous.
Right. I'm not through.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just want to make sure.
I'm not done.
Okay.
I was just to say thank you everybody for listening to us. And a couple of other things is go to livingupinadownworld.com. That's our website that has all of our podcasts on there. And you can go back and look at all the blogs under the blog tab. It's the Daily Grind, short devos just to help you along with your day, covering every topic imaginable. And those are all archived on there. And then you can always leave us a note. You can write us a note. You can ask us questions. You can leave a review. And you can also subscribe so that you get an email just letting you know when the next podcast is coming out or if it already has. So be sure and do that. So we do have a couple of people to thank here. I've actually got it pulled up, babe. Randy Black, I want to say thank you for giving to us and sowing Satoshis into us. He gave us Boostagrams. And then also Sir Bias Grace sending and helping. But we also have some others that have donated online through PayPal on our website.
Yes, Trey Blocker donated.
Big thanks to Trey.
James Behrens.
James is a blessing. Thanks,
little
James.
Bit.
You're a blessing to us.
And then
us.
Nancy, I'm looking to see what hers is. Hold on. Hers is a strap. It's Nancy at something. I have to look at it. I don't know who she is, but.
But thank you, Nancy.
Apparently
her name is Nancy, obviously.
It is. And she, what I love is giving us a yearly. She pays a yearly
that's beautiful.
Subscription, and it's
beautiful.
Just, it's just beautiful. It really is. It's
that's awesome.
Beautiful.
Now, Eric PP, I didn't know, I don't think I gave him a shout out from the week before, but just so appreciate you giving us the boost. We just really, really appreciate it. We have so many amazing people that we've gotten to connect with, and of course, we got to go to a No Agenda meetup a few weeks ago, and just so neat meeting people, and they already know who we are, which is just mind-bending.
Well, they talk about us on their show.
Well, we appreciate that. Adam and Tina Curry. Check out Curry and the Keeper as well. So, hey, God bless you. We love you. We were trying to land 30 minutes, and we didn't. We hit 46.
Oh, wow.
You're on fire.
I am. Well,
you're all fired
it's our
up.
Anniversary.
I know. It's a great day.
And I have to honor you.
You're over what happened 32 years ago?
I think I'll stick with
you. Okay, all right. So I'll be okay. I'm all right for another 32. You good for another three decades?
Three decades?
Three decades. I know it's crazy, isn't it?
I can't imagine.
All right, baby girl. Well, we are out of here. Keep living up in a down world. We love you guys. And it's just a pleasure to do this. And have an amazing week on purpose. We love you.